Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Philosopher's Stone podcast. It's a podcast, mate. With me, Jordan, and
me, Sam.
There we go. I think you came in just under the wire of acceptable there on that one.
My timing isn't good on that.
No, but we will practice as we have been for years now. keep practicing. What's going on, man?
What is going on? That's a great question.
Yeah.
And if you tried to give a literal answer to it, you'd never be able to.
No, that's the thing, is it's always figurative. And it's also always not even wanting, it's not genuine with most people. Unless you're actually, we're friends, right? Well, I think we can call each other friends by this point, right?
Yeah, debatable, yeah.
But see, when I ask you what's going on, I really want to know. But the amount of times I've said what's going on to an acquaintance or a coworker and haven't even broken my stride to wait to hear what's going on. You know what I mean? A lot of those greetings, like what's up? You know, you could say what's up to someone and not want an answer. It's very unusual. What is that? Is that a rhetorical question or is it? Yeah, that's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, right? Rhetorical. Yeah. It's like a greeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is annoying at work sometimes. You're like, hey, good morning. And the person's like, good morning. And then you just see them go back to like freaking out about whatever they're
doing. Well, yeah. Or they're like, what's up? And then they start trauma dumping on you. You're like, okay, I will never use a question as a greeting ever again.
Yeah. Generally not good. I know in other cultures they have similar things, but instead of like what's going on, it's like, have you eaten yet? They'll say that.
And that's a good one.
It's also rhetorical, but that's like where it came from.
Interesting. Have you eaten yet?
Yeah. Would you eat? Have you eaten?
And you're not supposed to respond. You're not supposed to tell them what you ate. You just go, what have you eaten?
I think it's the same thing. It's like a how are you? And you're just supposed to say, oh, I'm good.
Okay.
Because
they broke it down. That was the end game for that. We went to the very end of greetings with questions with that one. That was the final boss. Remember how that used to be?
It was a Budweiser commercial.
Was it?
Yep. Almost 100% sure it was Budweiser. And it was a Super Bowl commercial, if I remember correctly.
I do remember it being a commercial. What are you writing?
I'm like scratching. I don't know what it is. There's shit all over this coaster. I'm scratching it off. I don't know what it is.
All right.
Probably Mother of Pearl or something valuable.
What is Mother of Pearl?
It's the Pearl's mother. The Mother of Pearl.
That was very disappointing, Sam. I hated
Pearls.
That.
Pearls are a little bit nuts. Every pearl is a little baby, and the mother of the pearl is
the mother of the pearl is the clam.
Yeah, mother of pearl.
Mother of pearl. So you got clam juice on your coaster.
Organic composite material.
Okay.
Oh, I guess it kind of is because it's like the lining of the shell.
Oh, there you go.
So. In the sense,
mother of pearl is a color basically, or it's a shimmery.
It has a color, but it's defined as the organic material on the inside of a mollusk of some mollusk shells.
Mother of pearl, how'd that ever become an exclamation?
Pick the pearl. Is that an exclamation?
Exclamation.
Mother of pearl. I've never said that.
You never heard of someone go mother of pearl, or am I making that up right now?
I feel like you're making. I feel like people say like motherfuck, like no.
Mother of God definitely is something.
Mother of God,
mother of
the Dios.
I'm googling this. Mother of Pearl.
No one ever says that as like
a exclamation.
Maybe under the sea. Maybe like other shrimps and mollusks. They say Mother of Pearl.
Maybe they said it in. In like
Little Mermaid,
Yes.
That was their swear word.
Sweet mother of pearl.
What?
Yeah.
That's an expression?
Oh, wait, hang on. SpongeBob uses it as an explanation. There we go. I knew I wasn't. They called me crazy. They said, you're insane. And I said, no. And it turns out a little talking sponge says it all the time.
See, I was right. I was right all along. Yeah. So, Mother of Pearl. Where did that come from? Why are you asking about that? Mother of Pearl.
What was you were scratching off?
I'm scratching this shit off of this coaster. Okay. I got in
what were we talking about before then? Welcome to the Philosopher's Stoned, by the way. We're attempting an experiment where I'm the stoned one this time, and it's not working out so far.
I've almost never stoned on the podcast, actually.
Yeah, me neither. It's kind of a sham name.
Yeah, it is kind of a lie.
I think it's been years since I've actually gotten stoned for the podcast, but
yeah,
that doesn't negate the perma-fry that we've already live with day to day.
Correct.
But I hope we didn't ruin the mystique of our podcast for anyone.
A peek behind the curtain.
Yeah. Okay.
We're sober.
I think we were going to talk about what did we watch yesterday? What did everybody watch? Probably everybody listening watched it too, or at least has watched parts of it. It is the presidential debate between Donald Trump and Kamala. Okay, I still don't know how to say her name. I'm not going to lie. I know Trump says
it's pronounced Camel. Kamala. Kamala? No.
Kamala? What is it?
No. Kamala. Kamala.
I thought that's what Trump would say, and then she'd get mad.
Okay. I don't know where I could find this clip, but I have missed this originally. But at the start of the debate, it looked like he tried to dodge the handshake.
Oh, really?
Like, it looked like, because they walk onto the stage from opposite sides in front of their podiums. And he looked like he was just trying to veer away from her to get to his podium. And then she, followed him around to get the handshake and clearly enunciated her name, Kamala Harris.
I saw the handshake and she was I think she made a point of getting all the way past her podium to his podium to do it as a power move.
Yeah.
And maybe he took that as a slight because he's slow and then he tried to dodge it. The game was on immediately.
I love all the power moves.
Yes, the famous one was the Trump lurking behind Hillary Clinton in the first debates. So remember those? There was a bunch of memes about that.
Oh yeah, he was
every time she was making her point, he would be in the background looming like a shark fin.
Well, that was weird because for some reason they were allowed to walk around on the stage in that.
I know,
and there was a live audience and stuff. So weird.
You can't do live audiences anymore because it's too much of they'll just scream at everything that their candidate says, right? They'll just way overreact to everything. It's ridiculous. No one has any measured reactions to anything when you're that balls deep in the game.
You need a golf audience at the debate.
You need to pull random people off the street to have a balanced audience, right? If you're involved in politics, you got tickets to a presidential debate like that, you're too close to be objective in any sense.
Yeah, and I'm sure the parties would try and like get their hand-picked supporters in there who will yell and scream at the crowd.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, what a wild debate, eh? That was fun. I got super stoned to watch it, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And I think everyone's favorite moment. You tell me what your favorite moment was, but I think my favorite moment was.
I know what it is.
Yeah, when Kamala was attacked his rallies. She was like, "Go to his rallies. People leave early and they're boring."
Yeah.
And then as soon as she was done that, he was so pissed and so.
That
triggered.
Was when he lost his cool. Because I was actually I was like, okay, Trump's giving some maybe he can't stay on subject for very long, but at least his words strung together did make sense. And he was like delivering it in a calm and measured way. But after that rally's comment, he kind of went into rally mode almost. Like he started going into his like insane. It definitely, I think she did that. That was because she kind of did a little left turn and went right into and then attacked his rally.
There's no reason to bring it up, really.
She just did that as a total tactical move, and it worked. He bit right. I don't think he would. Of course he did.
No, because they asked right after that. They asked a question that was totally unrelated, and he instead got really angry and responded like, "We have the biggest rallies in the history of politics."
Yeah,
it's like, excuse me.
It's so funny that he needs to be the first and best at everything. Like the amount of times he claims to have done the best or been the first at something, that alone should be clear that this guy's talking out of his asshole for most of it.
Yeah, it was when he was first around, the whole like crowd sizes thing, like I think people may have thought that he just like said that stuff like to be like Trumpy, I guess, like bold and stuff. But now it seems more like a pathology. Like when he gets so triggered about it like that, like it's like, he isn't just saying this to like seem to like be the big man. Like this is he has a pathological need.
He's insecure about it.
Yeah.
He does not like the idea of people thinking his rallies suck.
Yeah. What was the other line she had? He still hasn't recovered from getting fired by 80 million people or something.
Yeah, she had some good ones. I was hoping for more of a slam dunk from her, but I don't know. Trump is just, it's just comes down to, do you believe Trump is telling the truth or not? That's really all it is. And I don't think that debate has, maybe has changed minds. I don't know. I kind of think that if you're a Trump person by now, you're a Trump person. And
yeah, I think for the 36% of people who are like Trump or die, that debate won't affect them at all. But
it's insane.
Yeah, but I think that debate will have affected a lot of people, because a lot of people were towing this line that Kamala is an idiot, and that is over.
Yeah,
that was the only real thing they had going for it, was that she's just a dummy who's in there as a stooge for Biden,
because
he can't do anything. But like, no, she totally held her own with a former president on the stage. Seemed to be the more powerful person on stage.
She definitely was the only one. Well, she pointed this out many times, but when she was saying he doesn't care about you guys, or he doesn't really have, he just hits talking points that he doesn't really have a plan to fix anything.
She was so right. She was so right about that. One of my favorite lines, he's like trying to, like they're asking him, like, what's your plan for, like abortion or the border. I think it was a border plan, right?
Yeah.
His main talking point the whole time is immigration. Answers every question, whatever the question was, the answer is immigration.
Yeah. And the amount of times he went back to, they destroyed our millions of people coming over the border.
Flooding over the border.
Of course, they're eating our dogs, they're eating our cats was almost a very, that was like a very surreal.
That was so funny.
A surreal moment.
They're eating your pets. They're hunting your pets with bows and arrows.
I got a concept of a plan. That's the new catchphrase on the internet right now. That made me laugh out loud too when I heard him say it, because it's such a like, you have a plan to make a plan?
Yeah. And that other one, he said like, I think before he said, I have the concept of, or maybe it was after, he said, if we think of something better, we'll do it. And I was like, yes.
Yeah. Well, say what you will. He hammers home. He just sticks to his, I don't know what to say about the man at this point. It's a bizarre, we're in a bizarre timeline. I agree that I think Kamala if I'm saying it right, I got to learn that name probably. She definitely proved that she can hang with him on a debate stage and make him kind of out to be what he is, which is kind of an insecure man child.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. He was the one who seemed flustered most of the time.
It was a clear adult and child dynamic, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, Kamala Harris, just going to call her Harris. She made like a decently compelling speech about coming together as a country and building up the middle class and clarifying she doesn't want to take people's guns away and all that shit, and basically making a plea to the American people, whereas Trump's entire closing statement was basically she fucking sucks.
Yeah,
worst ever.
Yeah he the one like argument that he could make, he didn't really bring it up very much, which is that she's been in office for 3 or 4 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he should have been hammering her, like, why do you still have so much to do? You've been in there for four years.
He did do that though. At one point, I remember him saying that pretty aggressively. Why haven't you done anything?
Yes. He didn't do it enough though. He should have been doing that on every question instead of bringing up.
And then when she asked, she asked if he'd veto a national ban on abortion and he wouldn't say no. But then he kind of turned it around on her. I think it might have been about gun control or something else where she didn't give him a straight answer. It was a wet yes or no question. It was the same thing. They kind of pulled the same move on each other. Neither of them could give the answer directly. Mm. But I forget what it was with her. But I also noted that I was like, she won't say that she won't do that thing. I think it might have been something to do with gun control, but I forget.
I have no idea. Yeah, I can't remember. I think I remember that point, but I can't remember what the issue was.
I'm actually surprised gun control didn't come up more with like the recent school shooting. Like as soon as school started back up in the States, it was open season on students, I guess. Like literally, yeah. I think there were school shootings on the very first day back to school.
First day of school. Yeah, and JD Vance said, "This is a part of life."
That's terrible.
Part of life. Yeah,
this is a part of life now, and there's nothing we can do. I thought that would have been brought up a lot more, the gun control thing, especially because she did say once that her what's his name again? Her Vice P,
Tim Walz.
Tim Walz and her both own guns and we're not going to take people's guns away. She did say it once, but I did think that there was more to be said about that problem for sure. I'm not really sure what Trump's stance on it is, but I know he's definitely like in the pocket of the NRA.
His stance on it is he'll never say a bad word about guns. He'll say everyone should own a gun. And then, that's what he'll say. And then in practice, he will ban people from bringing firearms to his rallies, to his political conventions, to his events. He will stand behind bulletproof glass, blah, blah, with his security, blah, 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 blah. Right? That's all they do. They just say everyone should have guns. And then in reality, they make guns illegal when they're around. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
The whole thing is so stupid. The whole gun thing is so, so stupid. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world to fix.
Saw one girl on, I think Reddit, saying she thinks that all guns should be insured, so that people can't. If you get caught with an uninsured gun, it gets taken away. If someone hurts someone with your gun, your insurance rates go up or something like that. The way she said it was much more convincing. But
you need to treat guns like cars.
Yeah,
that's it. guns should be treated exactly like cars. So
if you're insurance, an irresponsible gun owner, your insurance rates go up, and then insurance companies are going to regulate, step in and start getting some regulations happening, because they're going to be paying out all these crazy insurance claims with all the gun violence down there.
Yeah, it's just so it's such a strange thing that people don't want a gun, take the classic AR-15. Mm-hmm. They don't want that to be treated as like a serious, dangerous thing that you can own.
Right.
That needs like regulations to protect other members of the public.
Well, yeah. It's like driving an F1 car down the highway, right? It's like, that's not,
You need different licenses for different cars.
Yes, it's a
different vehicles,
and they should only be used in different situations, right? Like, why do you need an AR-15?
You need it. Well, like most people who say that they need it, say that they need it for animal control reasons,
right?
And that's like totally fine. That's totally legit. I have nothing against hunting. I think hunting is great, but it's pretty obvious that you can't just go and pick up a car with no training and go drive it around wherever you want with no rules.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Cause do they have to take a gun course down in the States? No, they don't, do they?
No, absolutely not. No.
Like, as a Canadian, I can go get a gun, but I got to go take a course and get certified and register my weapon and everything.
No. In the States, yeah, exactly. In the States, the problem is that they interpret the Second Amendment, which says you need a well-regulated militia, the right to bear arms, mm-hmm. in order to have a well-regulated militia. They take that 300-whatever-year-old line about people in the militia having the right to have a weapon, and then they say take that to mean every single random person in the country is allowed to have a weapon and conceal it in public without a license.
There are stricter gun laws in different states, right? Though, aren't there? Don't some states have different ones? Because I know some states are open carry.
Yeah, they have different laws about, open carry, concealed carry, and stuff like that. But for example, pretty sure this is Texas, or it's not Texas; it's a recent state. But statewide, you can concealed carry without a permit.
That's wild. Open carry is the wildest, though. That is what states are open carry. Like, that to me, imagine just standing in line at a Walmart and a guy's like strapped to the nines openly. Like, yeah. Don't you think that would contribute a little bit to everybody being on edge?
Okay. 31 states allow open carry without a permit.
What? I thought it was like 4 or 5 states. Oh my God.
Alabama. Okay.
Of course, Alabama. I that would be such a weird sight in most countries in the world. Just some random guy strapped up two AR-15s around his shoulders, pistols all over him. You would think he had to be like the most qualified, gone through so many different types of training, so many different qualifications in order to be carrying that around in public. But no, it could just be your guy, your neighbor, your coworker at the fucking mechanic shop. Just
gotta go shoot some pigs after work.
We're going out drinking. I'm going to bring my revolt. Like, they should need breathalyzers on those things, man. Yeah. There you go. I bet you that would solve so many shootings, as if every gun needed a breathalyzer in order to shoot.
Or if it could read your alcohol through your palm or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Imagine how many marriages wouldn't end in a murder suicide or something. Or suicide by gun would be, I mean, if you want to kill yourself, you're going to have to do it stone sober.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah. So the reason they are so fucked is basically because they have this 300-year-old law that they willfully misinterpret to mean everyone has the right to a gun.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. The only other place in the world. Okay. I haven't been everywhere in the world, obviously.
You haven't?
No, I have. No, I have not.
What in the fuck, Sam? I thought you were cultured.
I know. But the only other place I've seen anything like guns, like America, is Israel. And even there, people open carry, but they have permits for it because they are protecting a school group or they're a soldier.
And Israel is literally surrounded by countries that want to wipe them off the face of the earth.
Like, if there's like a better place for where everyone should have the right to have a gun on them, it would be Israel. But even there, you're not allowed to do that.
Exactly.
America is like on another level of insanity.
Israel or some like remote village in northern Alaska for animals that want to kill them because you're like barely even at the top of the food chain.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like Alaska. Most people who live in rural Alaska, absolutely, and like Canada, whatever, you need a firearm. You need like a shotgun because bears are a serious threat. And you need one, but you don't have the right to one. You don't have the right to own a gun just because you live in Alaska. Like, that's insane.
There was a video once that was going around. I forget how long ago it was, but it was like, I don't know. When do you think mass school shootings became like a commonplace thing? Because it has only been, I feel like it's only been happening really during our lifetime.
But Columbine, post-Columbine.
Columbine, yeah. They should have fucking, I don't know, man. It's like, if you go back in time, obviously 2020, but, you know, not make them the story. That would have done so much for future shootings, I bet. If all of the news stations in the world had agreed immediately to not make the shooters famous, then I think we would have had a lot less school shootings.
Yeah.
But, of course, like I said, hindsight 2020. Also,
some people would be like, it's a conspiracy.
Yeah. People can be like,
they've hidden the identities.
There's so many layers of stories you can hash up from knowing who the shooters are, right? Because it's all like, what was going through their head? What was the plan? Did their neighbors know? It's like every, you can run that story into the ground, and that's a lot of money for them. So
the parents always usually, I think the parents, in a lot of cases, the parents are like either are disturbingly aware of what's going on.
Yeah. I
just don't care. Don't do anything about it.
Oh, my baby. He wouldn't do that. Yeah, the mass shooting thing is crazy. But what was I was going to say something. There was a point I was meandering to about when school shooting started. But it is definitely feeding into itself. The media coverage after feeds in to inspire others, right?
Yeah, the copycats. Yeah.
I mean, think of like, even I can remember like my own, because I went to quite a few schools growing up, and there was always some weird kid with an anger problem, right? But I was never worried about him because he can't just go home after school, walk to the store. Oh yeah, this was, I saw a video going around of a kid that was like 16 or 17 or something, but looked young, and he would go and he had a hidden camera on, and he would try and buy cigarettes, and they would like always ask for ID or just say flat out no. And then he went into gun shop and bought guns, and he would sold way more guns than cigarettes.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's so insane. Funny.
But imagine that. Like, I never had to worry about, you know, some disturbed kid in my class coming to school with a gun. But now it's like, all the weird kids that can't make friends are probably like, it's even harder to make friends, or they're making a lot of scared friends. One of the two.
Yeah. Well, I think the generation is so desensitized to it, because they probably had to do like shelter in place drills since kindergarten.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our parents were the nukes, and then the kids today is mass shootings. I guess we did too, but not really up here in Canada. And there was a little bit of terrorist threat drill going on.
Oh yeah. Post 9/11, we had the terrorist threat drills. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is it just me, or have terrorist attacks like gone down?
Oh no. They've gone down. Well, terrorist attacks by Islamic extremists on U.S. soil have gone down significantly.
Is that because of the security has gone up, or what's going on there?
That's primarily because post 9/11, they spent trillions of dollars to make sure it wouldn't happen again. And sort of attacked all these organizations overseas and destroyed their command structures and all those sorts of things.
Right.
But
so the war on terror did kind of work?
Well, kind of. 600,000 plus Iraqis would like to have a word, but they're but they're dead.
Yes, right. So it worked, but by the means of success was monstrous.
Yeah, like the terrorist attacks on U.S. soil stopped, but the terrorist attacks on other Muslims in Muslim countries escalated to horrific levels, like the insurgency in Iraq and stuff like that.
Right.
Because that was mostly sectarian violence between Sunnis and Shias as well.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it used to be everybody was waiting for the next terrorist attack to happen, and that seems to have not been the case. Like, I feel like ever since COVID, I haven't even thought about it happening. Although they did stop a pretty big terrorist plot in Italy recently.
Yep. And won Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. They stopped that one.
That's the one I'm talking about.
That was going to be in Vienna, I thought.
I thought that is Italy.
What the fuck, dude? Vienna, Austria, man. That's where Hitler was from. Vienna, Austria.
It's in Austria.
Yeah.
Oh. Whoops. Sorry, Austria. All my Austrian listeners. Austria?
Man, as a German, as a red-blooded German, you believe in Anschluss, right?
I can neither confirm nor deny what I believe in.
Anschluss is it was Hitler's dream to reunite Austria and Germany.
Oh, why does he want them reunited? This is like Ukraine and Russia. Like, why?
There's Aryan blood that runs in our veins, not these pieces of paper.
Why does Russia want Ukraine so much? Someone said it was the bay, what is the Black Sea, some harbor that they would gain control of if they had that section of Ukraine.
Well, they took Crimea already. They annexed Crimea illegally back in the day. I think 2014 or 2016. Can't remember.
I remember it was 2014.
2014. And then they annexed Crimea, so they have the Black Sea, but they really want to invade Ukraine mostly for more coastline. So in addition to Crimea, even more coastline, like Odessa and those big ports on the Black Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want Kyiv, because at one point the Russian Empire controlled Kyiv. So Putin wants to reestablish the Russian Empire. That's his dream. And getting Kyiv is a big part of that, because Kyiv was once the capital.
Kyiv was the capital of Russia?
Not like modern day Russia, but like way back in the Middle Ages.
Does Putin believe that if he takes over Ukraine, that will somehow that piece of land and whatever the access to the trading routes, because of being those ports that he wants?
Yeah, he wants ports. Yeah.
He thinks that's the key for Russian prosperity. It's like, you sure seem to be wanting Ukraine pretty badly. It must be that you think owning Ukraine would be a significant enrichment to the lives of all the Russian people.
You'd get a lot more money. Ukraine has a lot of people in it, a lot of economic power.
Mm.
So you get a lot of stuff by conquering a big country like that. Produces tons of grain. Gives you extra buffer zone against NATO on your western flank.
Well, no, it gives you no buffer zone now.
Well, but buffer between
Ukraine the, was the months. Buffer zone.
Well, Ukraine was gonna. He was thinking, or whatever. I don't buy that he's worried Ukraine is gonna join NATO. But if you control Ukraine and Russia, then it's way harder for anyone else to get to Russia because they have to go through Ukraine first.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can't put missiles right next to Russia. You have to put them in Poland, I guess, where they already are.
That war has been going on for a long time now, over 2 years, right? Yeah. And I might just be getting kind of Ukrainian propaganda in my news feeds and my nightly doom scroll. But it seems like Ukraine is kind of, I don't know if they're winning, but they're definitely, Russia is having a hard go at it. Or is that just propaganda? What do you know? Tell me what you know. You're a spy, right?
Yeah. I have a brain implant that is linked to a satellite. So I just watch, I can watch through the satellite telepathically. It's pretty sweet.
Oh, and you only use that for watching the war zone, I'm assuming?
Well, I can't talk about the other things. I wasn't cleared to discuss that, unfortunately.
Ah, okay. You weren't cleared. All right.
Yeah, I wasn't cleared. But I am cleared to say, that I think, I don't know. Basically what you have is Russia is fighting this war like a meat grinder, kind of.
Right.
And the idea is that whoever runs out of meat first loses. Yes. And Russia has a lot more meat, unfortunately.
I see. Yeah. But this was not the plan initially from the sound.
No, the plan was to win in 2 weeks. The plan was to have the paratroopers and helicopter attacks assassinate Zelensky and install a puppet within 2 weeks.
Ah, that did not go well. No, what a disaster.
Yeah.
And now you have a meat grinder situation. You're sending all of your young men to die.
Yeah, and they've lost.
That can't be good for your approval rating overall.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, well, yeah. It doesn't matter for Putin, democracy wise, like he's a dictator and they have a fake democracy.
Yes, but even if he's a dictator, having a low people not liking him makes it easier for someone else to step up and be a dictator in his stead, right? You still need some support of your people.
Yeah. You need some support from the people who don't have the power to overthrow you. I don't know if the Russian people, if they would ever take to the streets to overthrow Putin. I can't imagine that ever happening.
No.
No. The only people who would take him out would be like that Prigozhin guy. He tried. He got close, but even he ended up dead.
Yeah, because he didn't have any fucking follow through, man. Didn't he? He was so close to getting to Putin, right?
Well, he was like, he had this column going to Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
But then it all stopped for some reason.
Yes.
And pretty what sure happened? They had his family members and they're like, we're going to kill your family.
Yeah, that was probably the standard. And then, of course, he said he's going to let him live in Africa. And it wasn't that long after that his plane got shot out of the sky.
It wasn't shot out of the sky. It was blown up by an explosive device on the plane, I believe.
Oh, is that what happened?
I think so. Hold on. Let me Google that.
That's very mafia. That's very mafia.
Crash cause. Yeah. Yeah, it was an explosion on board the plane. It was not a missile.
It was probably acid. They love using acid for some reason.
poured acid all over the wings.
Yeah, they poured acid on the... in the hull, like an alien Romulus, and that was it.
Yeah, they shot an alien.
Yeah. They put an alien on the plane. And that, you know what? I want to see that method of assassination play out more in our society.
What? What I mean? Alien?
No. Well, if
Xenomorphs? You can't control them.
I'm talking more like you get on a plane and you open up the bathroom and there's a tiger in there. And the tiger
kills you. Like oh, that. Like James Bond, where they try to kill him by dropping a spider on him while he's asleep.
Yeah, yeah. I want to use I want animal assassinations to come back into fashion. And you know what?
That's the thing. You can't, like, if a tiger kills somebody, Uh-huh. You can't prove that Tiger worked for the CIA.
Exactly.
That's natural causes.
Talk. Yeah. Natural causes. Basically, you brought nature to him.
Yeah.
Instead of school shootings, I want kids to somehow figure out how to get a gang of angry silverbacks into the playground, and that's the school shooting instead.
Yeah, that's why druids are so underrated, right? Because if you could telepathically control animals,
yeah,
imagine the havoc you could wreak.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm always saying druids are underrated, and people don't know what I'm talking about, but I do like to say that.
If you had the power to like mind control like all the spiders within like a 1 kilometer radius of your location and like gather them into a swarm, just think of the havoc you could wreak.
I know the havoc you could wreak, but enough?
You could kill people. You could literally, if you're in Sydney, Australia, and you could mind control all the funnel webs, to come and barge, you could literally kill people. Like,
how many? Okay, but that's because there's so many big deadly spiders over there. How many spiders? What radius? Okay, first of all, most spiders' bites are harmless to humans. No matter if you're getting bit by 100, if you get bit by 1,000 wolf spiders, you're not going to die, right? Unless you're allergic to them.
1,000? That's a lot. That's a lot of spider bites.
It is a lot of spiders. It's terrifying and unsettling, but I don't think that's going to kill someone.
Now, you might have a heart attack from fear. I got attacked by a thousand spiders.
I know. Okay. But you can't rely on someone to have a heart attack. It's not a good effective weapon. If you're just like, I hope he gets scared enough to have a heart failure. Black widows, I think. Yeah. I wonder how, because even then it's like, how many black widow bites does it take to kill a full grown man?
To kill a child? Just one. But a full grown, I would say 10. You're in the hospital. Serious. It's serious.
10 black widows to kill a full grown man.
Yeah.
See, I think, okay, here's the question. You want to take over the government of Canada. Okay. I'm not sure what the Canadian military is like these days, but it's still much more of a foe than you could imagine for you and your, here's the question. You're a druid.
All right.
You get to control one type of creature and enlist them as your army to attack and take over Canada and become the king of Canada. What animal are you going to pick? Insects are allowed. Any animal is allowed. But you can only have the amount that's in Canada. You can't summon animals from all around the world. You only have... Yeah, sorry. You only have access to the population of whatever's on Canadian soil.
Man. Yeah. Isn't our most dangerous animal like a polar bear? But like,
yes, but there's so few of them.
Okay, well, here's what you'd have to do. It would depend. It depends on the animal that you pick. And then...
Well, yeah, that's the whole question.
Yeah, and then... What you have to do is, because normally I would say you pick a deadly insect.
Right.
Because they're small enough that you could have them sneak into people's homes and assassinate them while they're sleeping.
That's right. You could do a little guerrilla warfare.
Yeah.
In the literal sense, not gorillas. You could summon all the gorillas in zoos in Canada, but they're all emaciated, but they do have the rage of imprisonment.
Yeah, so here's my, and Ogopogo isn't real, so we can't use that.
But I mean, sturgeons are real. They're pretty scary.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my plan. I think I'm going to pick polar bear.
Okay.
And here's how it's going to go down.
Okay.
I'm going to need to help the polar bears a little bit.
All right, I'll allow it.
Okay, so basically we figure out who is in the line of succession for the Canadian government, whatever the chain of government command is. We make an event in some Arctic area.
An event? You're going to get money for that? How are you going to get money for that?
I'm going to put on a big fundraiser charity party.
For polar bears?
Save the polar bears. We're going to be big marketing. we're gonna get the prime minister, the vice prime minister.
You're gonna go viral for filming polar bears do tricks, right? Because you can tell them what to do. All right, and that's how you're gonna get your capital for this campaign.
And, and I, because I can mind control the polar bears.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is, I convince everyone that my polar bears are docile and tame.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do a photo op next to the polar bears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everyone agrees. They think it's cool. They line up for the photo op. And then, just like Daenerys in Game of Thrones, I send the thought command to the polar bears and they eat JT while he's still alive.
Okay, so your polar bears all kill. Your polar bears have all just killed Justin Trudeau. You don't think that's
not gonna, just you, him, not just him. All the other important people that are at the event,
okay,
as well.
And that no one can. Since you're there, you get to be king of Canada now.
Well, how? Who is going to deny me after witnessing that feat of strength? But clearly, I'm the most badass person.
Okay, I don't know if I said modern day Canada or like, you know, 1300s tribal Canada, but I don't know. I think your plan is not going to work out. But
that's the problem. You can't use brute force to take over countries anymore.
It's no, just... no. So you got to get, this is how I'd do it, right?
Yeah.
I need to take a insect that is extremely invasive, can multiply extremely quickly, and is an extreme detriment to any society where a swarm comes, right? So Chinese like a locust. No, well, it's got to be Canadian. Something I can find again.
Oh, but you said invasive. Chinese ladybugs are invasive in Canada, so they are here.
They are there. Are there a lot of them? I need to do some research here.
Yeah, there are.
Basically, I'd find one that is like ruining everyone's day-to-day life. There's so many of them, right? So first, I would work on figuring out how to get the largest population of this insect. I'm going to say locust, just for shits and giggles, right? How many locusts I can possibly get to exist at one time, and I'm just gonna go province to province, ruining everyone's crops and lives until the people are crying out, please someone save us from this scourge of locusts, we'll do anything. And then that's where I will pose as a young university student with big dreams and some new ideas, right? I will come up with this new tactic that will get rid of all the locusts and save everyone. So I'm going to use the insect scourge to frame myself as this genius hero, right? And that will launch my political career. In which case, and I will gain a reputation as having a real sixth sense when it comes to nature's foils, right? So I can use the locust scheme to get my name on the radar, right? Start getting that, and then I'll just be able to create and solve problems that are related to animals on some level throughout my career, and always be the only one to figure it out without giving away my secrets as to how I do it. But eventually, it's the slow. I'm pitching the long game here. It's not going to be one big event, but it's going to be a slow ascension through the political ladder via animal related crisis
that only you can fix. But you only get one animal. You're cheating. You're picking.
I forgot about that. Shit. Okay, I gotta really make the most of this locust plan.
Well, the locust plan, that is a pretty good plan, actually. I have to say, that is a pretty good plan. Making up a problem that only you can solve. And then people are forced to get you to help them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty clever.
I need to get everyone in the palm of my hands with a perceived natural disaster that is a locust invasion. And then I need to show them that I can solve it. And then they have to bribe me with positions of power. So basically I'm going to hold the country hostage via locust until I get the seat of power.
I mean, you don't even have to pretend that you're like a, that you're a savior.
That's true.
You can outright threaten people.
I can threaten the locusts every time. Anytime there's an insurgency or someone tries to get my throne, I just the locust, they'll call me the Locust King. And the locust will be upon you if you dare to go against me. And if there's ever, if they ever came to the locusts could, they could, I could get them to crawl down the barrels of guns and clog it so bad that they can't even fire a single bullet.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's my
plan. We can't target them. We can't target the bugs. There's too many.
I'll get my locusts to form into, they're going to swarm and grab onto each other to form up into a human shape, and they will be able to hold a gun.
Oh, yeah. You wake up in the morning, you're like, huh, is it dark out?
Yeah. Oh,
my God, the locusts.
Yes.
Blotted out the sun.
The Locust King. And then I will be lowered from the sky on a cloud of locusts. And demand.
Oh yeah, because you could fly around on them because you could get enough together that they could carry you around.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's actually possible, but you would think in theory that if I had enough locusts, the only hole in my plan is are there enough locusts in Canada to pull this off?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, seem pretty sure about that.
Dude, are there if you ask the question, are there enough bugs to do X? The answer is probably yes. It's just they can't coordinate.
That's true. It's like ants. You told me once ants, if you control every ant in the world, why wouldn't you there's so much, as far as biomass, humans versus ants, there's so much more by weight ant mass than human mass on the planet, which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're highly organized as well.
Well, they're very regimented, right? They're basically what you want in a fighting force is ants.
Yeah, and the construction crew, and fighting ants force, construction
can build
crew,
insane structures that I think even humans could. I think if you had control of an ant colony, you could get them to build buildings and stuff for you that made out of like mud and pulp and shit.
Yeah, like termites build some seriously tall mounds.
Yeah
they're similar to ants. I watched a great sci-fi movie about ants where there's like a supernova or like a comet goes over Earth, right? That's like a common trope, and the comet like causes a mutation in the ants, makes them super intelligent. And they send in these like scientists to try and like do tests on the ants and figure them out. And the ants end up outsmarting the scientists and killing them.
That sounds like the Children of Time book I was reading, except for spiders.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. And then that book, the spiders use these really tiny ants to make living computers.
Yes, that's exactly what they do. And they have highly complex pheromonal based coding for these computers.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good book. It was a real slog to get through, actually, but it was interesting.
The sequel is really good. Did I give Aaron the sequel? I can't remember. The sequel is really good.
There's a sequel to that?
It's a trilogy.
What?
Yeah.
How do they go further than where they are already in the story?
Time jumps. They do big time jumps.
I mean, the whole book, they're doing big time jumps, but
the sequel is like, there's like a time jump and the sequel is the spider planet, right? Cause there's like the humans, some more humans arrived on the spider planet.
Yeah.
And so they've basically like set up like a reservation for some humans to live on, for the humans, and humans can live on the reservation if they're too freaked out to live with the spiders.
Right. Right. If we're too hideous for you, we've made a simulation of your home planet.
Yeah. And then, but then basically what they do is they know that, they know there are other terraformed planets out there.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they just want to do is they want to go and visit these planets and see if there are other humans still left alive, what's going on. They just want to find others because where the story is set, there used to be a galactic empire, but it's fallen and all the planets are isolated. And so
right.
People are trying to find contact.
I remember that from the lore. I've been getting into, I've been watching a lot of Warhammer lore videos because that new video game came out.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen footage of that game? It looks pretty goddamn cool.
Space Marine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, I've gotten into the world building a little bit, or the lore and like the story of Warhammer. And man, if they, because Henry Cavill is Cavill?
Cavill.
He is the he is going to be part of like the creative production team, and he's starring in it, obviously, of the Warhammer TV series that's being made.
Mm.
And he has been a Warhammer nerd since he was a kid, apparently. So, potentially, it could be a fucking sick show. Is the point I'm trying to make here?
Oh yeah, this looks like Gears of War style.
Yes, but apparently it's much better. I would expect it to be better with modern gaming technology, but I did hear someone describe it as like a throwback as far as like the quality of the story and the effort put into it is very similar to how it was back when the Xbox first came out with Gears of War. But obviously they have the modern technology and like a crazy swarm AI technology to like have, so you can fight hundreds of independent people at once, stuff like that. Anyways, I think we've come to the natural end of this conversation.
I would say if you could if you were okay, I would say if Putin could bring xenomorphs to Earth, he would do it.
Yes, he would. I think he would too. I think a lot of people would.
Yeah.
They would eat our cats and our dogs for sure.
And then our cats and our dogs would eat us.
Yes. I mean, it's been said a million times before, but like maybe an alien first contact is truly the only way that a species like humans can actually unite as one.
Yeah, three body problem notwithstanding.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that does not happen at all. But if it was a sudden invasion, maybe it would be different, right?
Yeah, I don't know. If it was a
sudden violent invasion, I think maybe we would have to unify.
I think there would be too many people who would be like, oh, no, we will help them, and then they won't kill us if we help them.
Yeah, you're right. People are so dumb. Anyways, never forget, it's 9/11 today when we recorded this. So glad that didn't happen again.
We kind of talked about it a bit. But,
a little bit, terrorism. Anyways, that's our episode this week. Everybody stay safe out there. You know? Keep it real. Anything you want to add, Sam? Very nice. Thank you.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So.
Okay, bye. The philosopher's